CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. This just in, a state of emergency has been declared at another Japanese nuclear power plant. This one is in the northeastern city of Onagawa, where excessive radiation levels have been recorded since Friday's earthquake. CNN's Stan Grant reports crews at the nuclear plant in Fukushima are flooding reactors with seawater in a last-ditch attempt to cool them.
They have said that there is a high possibility of a meltdown in reactor number one, and also the possibility of a meltdown in reactor number three.
About 2.5 million people are without power in Japan today. Prime Minister Naoto Kan announced that rolling blackouts would be used to help preserve energy.
Sudden power failure could devastate the lives of people as well as to the industrial activities, and this is something that we must avoid.
The death toll from the quake and resulting tsunami has just gone up. Authorities say about 1,353 people have been killed and hundreds more are missing. The rebel-controlled town of Albrega has been retaken by Muammar Gaddafi's forces, according to Libyan state television. CNN's Ben Wiedemann is in the city of Benghazi.
Some people think that Colonel Gaddafi is taking full advantage of the intense focus on the situation in Japan to gain more ground in the east, also to possibly gain more ground before the imposition, potentially, possibly, of a no-fly zone.
Opposition leaders call the move from Albrega a tactical retreat. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin expects Congress to pass a short-term spending bill this week, keeping the government in business for now.
It buys us about 3 weeks. It includes cuts, which we have offered on the Democratic side in an effort to find a reasonable compromise here.
Durbin was a guest on CNN's State of the Union. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
If you're thinking of investing your hard-earned money in the stock market, I have one word of advice for you. Stop! Wall Street lost over 45% of your money twice in the last decade, and they're about to do it again. An eye-opening free report reveals the secret Wall Street doesn't want you to know. How to grow your wealth safely every year and never lose a penny, even when the market crashes again. For a limited time, you can get this report free at bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com.
There's no guarantee a penny saved is a penny earned. No guarantee a word to the wise is sufficient. Even with conventional wisdom, guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Oh, it's Irish music.
It's Irish music because it's almost St. Patrick's Day.
But it's like rock and roll, you know, Irish music.
I'm inspired to do my Bob Geldof impression now.
Please, God, don't.
You wouldn't be from Tel Aviv, would you, lad? He's the only Jew I know from Ireland, so I thought I'd do both of those. All right, well, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. It's a lovely day in March, finally. It's not snowing, raining. We have no tsunamis, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And actually, you're going to have a tsunami of sorts this afternoon. You're going to be a judge at Cochon 555.
Mm-hmm, I cannot wait. But I am gearing up for it because there is so much food in the studio this morning. I'm like getting my stomach all ready for all that.
Well,
work.
Now I'm going to depress you. All right, so let's talk about today's show because it's a whopper. Every year in America, we throw away 96 billion pounds of food. And as it turns out, among the most wasteful among us may be the very high-end stores that we think of as the most environmentally responsible. Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and others. Jeremy Seifert lived and filmed the award-winning documentary Dive, and he's going to be with us on the phone today to discuss how dumpster diving behind top supermarkets and restaurants turned up a real treasure trove of perfectly healthy edible food that was not only enough to live on, but could feed his family and could feed the hungry in this country.
Anyway, it's a terrific documentary, and we're going to be talking with him all about that later on. Now, St. Patrick's Day is just coming up. It's this Thursday. We're so excited. We have two ways of celebrating it in studio today. First of all, we'll be talking with Jason Brom. He's the executive chef at PJ Clark's downtown. Now, they're a New York transplant. They've been on the show before, but they are throwing a huge St. Patrick's Day party. He's coming in with corned beef and potatoes, and he's making all sorts of yummy treats. We'll be having that in a bit. And Talbot County, Maryland. Now, I know that may sound like it's a trek, but it's really not. It's a very short drive. In fact, our chef in studio, Jordan Lloyd, just made it this morning.
He just did the schlep from the Eastern Shore.
He did. But he's coming in. He's from the Bartlett Pear Inn, which has received tons of accolades. He's going to tell us all about the inn and the restaurant and what's going on in Talbot County next week. They're not this week coming up, the week after. They're doing a terrific restaurant week. We're going to hear all about it.
Now, if you say the name Clinton in Washington, people think we're talking about Bubba. But there's another Clinton, Clinton Terry.
The right people know who we're talking about.
Who is a world leader in his own right as the mixologist extraordinaire at Cahal and Michelle Armstrong's PX and Eamon's a Dublin Chipper and Restaurant Eve. Mm-hmm. And you're involved in all that stuff. He's in with us today serving up St. Patty's Day delights, and we will be delighted to be his devoted taste testers. Hi, Clinton. How you doing?
You have a whole apothecary over there. It's so beautiful. There's all these bottles and things. I want to touch them all. They're fantastic.
Ma'am. I'm ready for you.
All right. So I got a question for you. Does having an Irish chef as chef owner, who obviously is going to get excited about, you know, St. Patrick's Day, does that get you guys all jacked up for,
like, does it get the creative juices
flowing? Does everybody just get cranked and hang around all day? Is that
very much so? I mean, it's kind of like Christmas to us. I run like a little fish and chips place, so it's just crazy all day.
Eamon's is not a little
Eamon's,
fish and chips.
Yes, that's
it is. It's 30 seats, very intimate.
Okay, it's small in size, but not small in stature.
Yes, everything's fresh. We make everything ourselves. So, but it's still just a little chip shop, very authentic. Mm-hmm. So it should be crazy busy all day long.
Okay. So now tell us about some of the St. Patrick's Day promotions that you're doing specifically at Eamon's. And then PX is right upstairs. It's your speakeasy-ish
place. It is. It's just the same. It's a little cocktail bar. It's about 30 seats all together. We make everything ourselves just the same. So at Eamon's on St. Patty's Day, it'll be fish and chips. We'll do a few Irish-based cocktails. The shandy we're about to do for you.
And the what? Can you say that again?
It's an Irish shandy, so it's kind of our version. It's a lemon juice, lime juice. It's a kefir and lemongrass vodka that
we
make.
What is kefir?
It's a kefir lime leaf, so it's an Indian lime leaf. So it's floral, very light. And then it's topped with a Harp Lager foam. So it's kind
simple,
of our
super
take.
Simple. Wait,
something
I can make
it
this
home.
At home,
yes.
Right?
Pronounce it for me.
Kefir.
Gesundheit.
Sure. Okay, so you're going to start shaking that up.
Yes,
now, can you just explain, though, and then I know we have to move on. You have all these little bottles. Did you make absolutely
everything you see we've made. So from the creme de menthe from my last cocktail to a beautiful like Guinness reduction for my first cocktail, it's going to be called Smooth as Velvet. Mm-hmm. So it's a take on two Irish cocktails. One is a black and black, where it's Guinness and blackcurrant. Mm-hmm. And the second is a black velvet, where it's champagne and Guinness. So I have a beautiful Guinness reduction, where it's Guinness that we reduce with just a little bit of sugar. And I have a Mawati, which is a blackcurrant soda.
Okay, and you made that too?
The Mawati is the only thing we didn't make. We import it from Ireland.
I was going to say. I was going to be really, really impressed.
For everything that we can make, some things are very like a traditional taste that you can't replicate. And then a little bit of beautiful Powers Irish whiskey. No better day to start the...
Yeah, but how else to start the day? I'm getting into whiskey these days.
That's how you end the day. That's how you end your life. All right, well, while you're
making that, we're going to start talking with the chef.
Yes, ma'am.
Jordan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi.
So as we mentioned when we started the show, you know, you've sort of cooked all around. To give everybody who doesn't know who you are, where you came from, and what you've been doing.
That drink's being mixed up.
Sounds yummy.
I've been incredibly fortunate to be a little bit all over the place. Mm-hmm. I started in my little hometown in Easton, working for Mason's Restaurant, which is a great restaurant.
Aren't you right next door to it right now?
We're right next door. So it's actually really cool because I used to look
by in the morning and go...
No. I used to look out the window, and I used to look at the old inn, and there was a great chef there before us, actually. And I was like, man, how does a guy get to that level? Or, you know, like, how do you get to that point to own your own inn and own your own restaurant? And this was 10 years ago, so I've come full circle.
Wow. And what was the inn called before?
It was the Inn at Easton.
It was the Inn at Easton.
Yeah, chef named Andrew Evans. He did a great job. Really good chef, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I took off and I went to Michelle Richard Citronelle for 2 years, which was amazing.
Right.
Sweetheart of a guy, really supportive. And
we've had him in. We know what he's like. You don't have to sugarcoat it.
He's a mess.
When the guy's on the air, all he does is make passes at my wife. I don't know what kind of chef he really is.
You and everybody else's wife.
Yeah. You're also beautiful.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart, though. He really is. And it was so funny. I asked chef. I wasn't ready to be a sous chef or anything like that. Not that they were offering, but I was there for 2 years, and it was time to move on. And I was like, you know, chef, where do I go? And he said, well, I have a friend of mine opening up this little spot in New York. He's like, I think you might be a good fit for it. Let me talk to him, and I'll get back to you tomorrow. And the next day, he comes in, and he's like, how would you like to open up Per Se with Chef Thomas Keller? And I was like, holy smoke.
I'm sorry,
like,
I don't know who that is. What are you talking about?
I mean, of course, as a young cook, I was, flabbergasted, sure. You know, ready to go. So I went there. Opened up Per Se with Chef Keller.
What an experience.
Amazing. I was there for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Loved New York. Went down to Hilton Head and opened up a big resort, Auberge du Soleil, down there.
Wow.
Opened up a little Italian trattoria in Atlanta. Left there, went to Miami and worked for Christian Delouvrier, who's a brilliant chef. You know, he had Lace Panasse in New York and St. Regis. Worked for Alain Ducasse for a little while. And I was his chef de cuisine for 3 years. And then I was, you know, somewhere along the way, we picked up a 4 and a 2 year old.
It happens like that.
Well, I think we need to talk about that right now, because you and Alice have been together since
the
fourth grade.
Well, she was my little girlfriend in like fourth grade. I think I got a kiss.
You know, Nikki was my girlfriend when she was in the fourth grade. I unfortunately, thank you, yeah. Was in college at the time, but whatever.
I swear to God, that's not
true. It's okay
true.
Now it's legal.
Don't tell my parents that. They already thought I was trouble. Now you're just proving it.
You and Alice have been, I mean, is she...
Yeah, so we've known each other for obviously a long time. She's an amazing cook. I mean, not a chef by trade, but just she's got a lot of heart. She's a great baker. You know, she's just a brilliant woman. She really is. She's amazing. I'm really
lucky. So now, how did the two of you... Yeah, I mean, you're young. How did the two... And you said you've been doing this for 10 years. How did you get... An inn. And why an inn? Why not a restaurant? Just a restaurant. I mean, how did this all come to be?
It just, I was working. I opened up Bourbon Steak, actually, as a server at Michael Mina's restaurant, the Four Seasons. And I was actually commuting because, you know, I wanted my family to live in our hometown and be next to their grandparents, all that fun stuff. And, I was going back and forth, and this inn was up for sale for like 2 years, a year and a half. And, the price kept going down, and it was looking like it was going to go to foreclosure. And I was like, if this thing goes to foreclosure, I'm going for it. Yeah, because it already had a great foundation with the Inn at Easton. So it was known as a really nice dining restaurant already. Mm-hmm. So it had a nice foundation. And I was like, you know, if it goes to foreclosure, that's an amazing price for a building like that. It's 220 years old and rock solid. I mean, it's beautiful.
But did it need a lot of work?
No.
And did you have a vision of what you wanted to do for an inn? I mean, you and your wife?
Yeah, it just...
Because that's a huge undertaking.
I mean, with anything, the vision is just quality. Like, just do everything you can to produce the maximum amount of quality in every square foot of the place that you can.
All right,
so it's just about working with your heart.
Take us into the place. Obviously, there's an inn.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to play In Crowd at some point? Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Andy's like, hey, man, I know my job.
He really
leave
is.
Me alone.
But, and then there's a, tell us about the menu. I mean, is it an Eastern Shore, in quotes, kind of menu themed that way?
I've been lucky to work with some great chefs. So I have some, well, humbly speaking, I think I have some nice techniques on, you know, a lot of different styles of food.
You don't have to be humble. You can brag.
Yeah. Nobody else is humble around here.
So, I mean, we change the menu every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I definitely work with our local purveyors as much as I can. But, you know, I'll never sacrifice quality for local. I mean, it's got to be local and quality at the same time.
Right.
Today I brought in a rabbit pate, which is local Maryland rabbit. It's rabbit pate and rillette and mortadella. And
we do
fresh made pasta. So we're doing like chicken liver agnolotis right now with sage verblanc and Cottingham Farms radishes, which is a local organic farm that's amazing. I work with.
But do you have anything fancy?
Yeah.
How big is your dining room?
30 seats.
Okay, so it's tiny.
Yeah,
and you just do dinner?
Yeah, we just do dinner only, and we do brunch on Sundays.
Oh God, we took you away from brunch.
Yeah. Well, no, we actually start it next week, the first day of spring. We were doing it. We took a break, so okay. This is actually my last Sunday before we get going again.
Yeah. Nice restful Sunday for you.
Yeah, well, this is awesome.
Well, let me ask you. So we just have 2 minutes and then we'll come back after the break. But how involved are you with this restaurant week going on in Easton? I mean, in Talbot County? Because it sounds enormous. There's so many events going on.
Yeah, very involved. I mean, it's an amazing project. Debbie Dotson, the director of tourism, has really been the main person that's really put all this together. From
shout out to Debbie.
Out to Debbie. Yep. There's a lot. I mean, it's amazing. This little town, Easton, has these killer restaurants within like a three-block radius. I mean, there's literally 21 restaurants within a three-block radius, but actual quality restaurants, I would say at least half, which is pretty good. There's some other restaurants that are really good, and they have their little niche, but like really serious quality people that really care. There's Mason's, which do an amazing job, which is where I started. There's Out of the Fire with Amy Haynes, who's a brilliant woman. Scosa's. So it's amazing.
Well, I'm just looking at the prices are right, too. It's, what, $20.11 for a two-course lunch and $30.11 for a three-course dinner?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
That ain't bad.
No, it's fantastic. So now, how are you participating in it?
Well, we're doing, I mean, we're following the format. You know, it's three courses for $30.11. And we're throwing down. I mean, I don't know how to make things less than what they're supposed to be. So we have really, beautiful ingredients, beautiful, I don't know if some restaurants try to cut the food cost and make things a little bit less than what they're supposed to be. But we're just giving it all we have.
That's awesome. All right. Well, you have to take a quick break.
I want to say something. I believe him.
I believe him, too. I want some of that rabbit terrine. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to find out more because there's a huge finale for Restaurant Week. We want to find out more about that, and we'll give you the 411 on how you can go to the Bartlett Inn. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
If you're a woman and you're sick and tired of watching your hair get thinner and thinner, we're about to challenge everything you think you know about hair loss. Because we're going to send you a risk-free trial of a product with an FDA-approved ingredient, clinically proven to help stop women's hair loss and regrow hair. It's called Keranique. Find out how you can try it risk-free by calling 1-800-600-0209 in the next 10 minutes. You're going to be amazed by what you see. Because Keranique is formulated especially for women to help repair hair follicles, prevent premature hair loss, and regrow thicker, fuller hair. And it's sulfate-free, which means it's safe for color-treated hair. Ladies, it's finally your turn to be free from embarrassing hair loss. Call 1-800-600-0209 in the next 10 minutes and try Keranique before you buy it. But hurry, supplies are extremely limited. For your risk-free trial, call 1-800-600-0209. That number again is 1-800-600-0209.
All right. Well, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we've got Jordan Lloyd in from the Bartlett Pear Inn, and we're talking. Actually,
can we just say that we're digging into the most glorious rabbit tureen? It is so yummy.
Thank you so much,
bunny rabbits.
Oh, they love it.
They love it. I agree.
Well, that didn't stop me from eating it. So. What the hell? I'm just trying to pretend to be sensitive. All right, so actually, we were talking about Restaurant Week down in Easton, and there is a really big sort of culminating moment to this on the 27th,
right?
You guys are screening Julie and Julia, and you've got, there's a big dinner at the Tidewater Inn.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And Amanda Hesser from the New York Times is coming down, right?
Yep.
Right, and Julie Powell is going to be
the woman who wrote the book.
Yeah, amazing. Yep.
For better or for worse.
Yep, she's actually staying with us at the Bartlett Pear, which is neat.
Awesome.
All right, so before we do anything else, tell people how they would get tickets to that.
Well, I guess, to be quite honest, I should probably know, but, I mean, you would call either Debbie Dotson, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Debbie, get prepared. Yeah, they're all going to call you.
Director of Tourism, and then, or the Tidewater. I mean, there's, you know.
I think you can go to talbalcounty.org.
Oh,
and
go right on the
website.
Yeah, probably. Sorry, Debbie.
I think that
Debbie.
Probably makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people want to come to the Bartlett Pear Inn,
yes,
tell us how we can find you, please.
We're right downtown. It's 28 South Harrison Street is mm-hmm. the actual address. But, mm-hmm. you know, you just come right down Route 50, make a right on Dover, and make a left on Harrison Street. And we're the big 220-year-old home on the left-hand side.
How many rooms?
Seven rooms. Yep, seven great rooms. All their own bath. It's not like we really don't think of ourselves as a country inn bed and breakfast. It's a little more urban, contemporary style.
Okay, we like urban. That's
good. Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, flat screen televisions, iPod docks. I mean, we try to think of everything, you know, to make the guests feel at their most comfort.
We're making a reservation. We're coming.
Yeah, we're bringing the kids and the dogs.
No, we're not. He can have a room with the kids and the dogs, and I will have my own room.
Yeah. Be by myself. All right. Well, listen, thanks for coming in. This was great.
Yeah, thanks for
coming in. Thank you so much for having us.
It's a great story, too.
Us, I know.
It's like a hometown boy makes
Dunk good.
Good.
Yeah, how about
love
that?
It.
I love it. All right. Well, all right. So let's go on back to Clinton.
Clinton, this drink was delicious.
While we still have our senses about us.
It doesn't taste like it has a lot of alcohol in it. Am I wrong?
It does. It has both champagne. It's a beautiful Virginia Fizz. Comes from Claude Thibault in Charlottesville.
I love 100% Claude. He's
Chardonnay.
Awesome.
Yeah, Claude's fabulous.
He is.
And then both the Powers Irish Whiskey and then Guinness as well. So.
Oh, my God. It's so...
But it looks like a Guinness where it's got that rich, creamy head.
Mm-hmm. So when you're inventing something like this, I mean...
This one's a Todd Thrasher original.
We've had Todd on. I mean, do you guys just sit around all day and mix stuff and drink it? And
does anything go like kaboom?
It's called research, if you will.
I want to do research.
Can I assume that they take your car keys away from you while you're doing research?
Yes, Chef.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what... do we get to see the labors of love for the next one? What are you doing next?
Yes. So the next one is going to be the Shandy, as mm-hmm. I said, with the harp foam. So it's mm-hmm. a beautiful kefir lemongrass vodka that we make.
Okay.
And then it's just straight lemon and lime juice, uh-huh. a little house-made lemon bitters.
Okay.
Bitters are kind of, they're super concentrated, like aromatic flavorings.
And they're medicinal,
super,
right?
They are, yes.
They're going to make our tummies feel good.
Of course.
I got to get ready to eat all that pork, so let's get it going. All right, while you're mixing that, we have Jeremy Sufrod on the phone, yes?
Jeremy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
I'm craving what you are drinking.
Well, oh, hey, man, we know how to roll it out in the morning.
Let me just do a little preamble here, and for our listeners, this will turn your stomach. Americans toss out over 260 million pounds of perfectly edible food a day. Now, years ago, the government acknowledged that recovering just 5% of it 5% of it could feed 4 million hungry Americans, and that recovering 25% would feed over 20 million, but we recover less than 2.5%, and of course you have to ask, why? Why is there hunger in America with all that food? So on the phone is Jeremy Sufrod. He's a documentarian, and he has a new film called Dive that chronicles his successful efforts to survive, actually to thrive, as a dumpster diver eating food that others had tossed out. Jeremy? Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for joining. I know it's really early out by you, so thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so before we get to dumpster diving and Dive the documentary, let's just talk a little bit about wasting perfectly good food and what got you into it? I mean, what made you take note of it?
I hadn't noticed it. I think just like so many of us, it's something we don't see because of our excess. And the fact that most of us aren't hungry. But some friends were visiting from Philadelphia, actually, about 5 years back, and they showed up to my house, actually, on a Sunday morning, very early like this, and they had 3 or 4 huge bags of food, and they emptied it out on my kitchen floor, and half of it was rotting, and the other half of it was amazing free-range organic chickens and pre-made salads and baby broccoli, sourdough bread and all this stuff, and I said, what the hell is going on? And so they introduced me to dumpster diving, which I found out that just miles from my home every night there was hundreds of dollars of amazing food in the trash can.
But was it? Is there a culture of dumpster diving? I mean, do you think that that is, I mean, of not people who are homeless, but people who can afford food? I mean, do you think there is a whole culture of people who are doing it?
Yeah, there are. I say there are, like, there are different cultures, because I think that there isn't just one. I mean, the Freegans are probably the best known.
My husband's a Freegan, and he doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it.
But then there's just people who, you know, believe that it's an issue of justice and ethics, and maybe aren't suffering from hunger or even can afford to buy food, but they just feel like that it's wrong that mm-hmm. the food is in there, so they, you know, become dumpster divers.
Well, let's talk about the art and science of dumpster diving. First of all, I'm going to assume that there's some research necessary, because you don't just dive into any dumpster. So how did you figure out how to do this?
Trial and error.
It's the error part that scares me.
Yeah. Well, it's actually such an easy thing. I mean, you get in your car and you go and you find a dumpster, you know, behind the grocery store is the best place, obviously, if you're looking for food. And you peek your head in, and then eventually you'll have to jump in all the way. And then you start eliminating the bad ones and finding the good ones. And, I mean, a lot of these huge grocery stores like Avon's or Safeway have these gigantic compactor dumpsters, and they don't even have an opening or a lid. It goes right into the back of the grocery store, and they put the food in there, and it compacts it. And then they ship it off.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, which came first for you? I mean, are you a director first, or are you a dumpster diver first?
It was a dumpster diver first.
Okay.
And I needed to make I took a documentary class at night, and I had to make a 10-minute film. And I chose this subject matter because I worked all day, and I had a family and a band. And then after everybody went to sleep, I could start working on my film.
Mm-hmm. And so, and then you were able to expand on that?
Yeah, I kept working on it after the class, and it turned into this film that's now won 20 festivals around the world. And
congratulations. I mean, having seen what we have of it, it's really inspiring. I'm sort of jealous that you do it, because I don't think it's something I can personally do, but I like the concept of it, and I think it, you know what I mean? Like, it's angering to me that all that food does go to waste. So what can the layperson do? I mean, how does the layperson get involved? Who do we talk, who do we talk to at Whole Foods? How do we make it happen? What?
You're jumping.
I can't help it. I'm into it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jump right in there. Oh, first off, I think you'd really would enjoy it if I could take you out one night and, you know, we could get.
I'd have to wear my
heels. Let me tell you something. I would wear a Speedo and do a 1.5 gainer into a dumpster to try this.
That is the spirit. We have.
God, you don't want to see me.
Let's go.
Speedo.
Come to DC again, and we'll do it.
Mm. How can you get involved? Well, I really encourage people that the first place to start, because this is part of a broken system, and mm-hmm. and not just system, but I think a broken relationship that we have with nature and with, you know, our food. So I encourage people to first start in your own home. I mean, we all waste insane amounts of food, and there's so many things you can do in your home. But I think just being aware of the fact that you should eat the food that you have. And if things are starting to go bad, you know, make soup. And you don't always eat what you want to eat if you're eating to avoid food waste, and composting, all these things. As far as grocery stores, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, we're pressuring right now Trader Joe's to adopt a corporate-wide policy so that all of their stores are eliminating food waste. And we want to do the same thing with Whole Foods. But you can go to your local store and just ask them gently, humbly, hey, what do you guys do with your food waste? You might be surprised. They might be giving a lot of it away. On the other hand, they might say that they are, but they really only give bread. So you have to push further and ask about vegetables and meat and fruit, and then volunteer. Tell them that you'd like to help connect them to the local food bank or food pantry.
Well, that's
asking the question.
that's really the question, because, you know, when you mention Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, that's what really kind of blew my mind. And by the way, we're talking to Jeremy Seifert. He's an award-winning documentarian who did a documentary called Dive, which is about dumpster diving and all the healthy, edible food that gets thrown away. Now, a lot of it gets thrown away on the high-end food retailers that we actually rely on and assume are the most environmentally responsible.
Well, I think we think they're the leaders of, you know, healthy, wholesome eating. So it's surprising that they're not more involved with our local communities.
And you know, in researching, talking to you, there's this Good Samaritan law that was passed under Bill Clinton that held food stores harmless from donating food to the hungry if that food turned out to be, you know, some of it turned out to be bad. So why are these guys resisting?
Well, I'm not sure that the answer is pretty complicated, I think. I mean, I think some of it on some level is ignorance of the Good Samaritan law. I think on other levels it's laziness. It's even, you know, it's easier and possibly cheaper to throw the food out. But I think stores are finding that you can actually save money. There's a tax write-off when you give the food. And the benefit to the environment is immense, obviously. And I want to just say for Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, I mean, I'm kind of picking on them because we would expect greatness from them. And they are better than so many. And the thing about them is that they leave it up to the individual stores. So you will have one Trader Joe's or one Whole Foods that does amazing, gives all of their food 7 days a week and is doing it right. But then you have another Trader Joe's or Whole Foods over here in a different neighborhood or a different city that does almost nothing. So I'm not criticizing all of them, but I'm asking...
You're asking corporate to mandate, right? I mean,
yes.
Corporate should mandate...
All your stores are doing this.
No, I agree with you. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we want to talk about more, like where people can see the movie and see Dive, the movie, where they can see it. You want me to say Dive, Doc?
Yeah, well, just I want to make sure people know that when we're done with this show, go to divethemovie.com because you can find out
about, a ton of information.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, can you hold on for 2 seconds? We have to take a quick break, but we'll come right back.
Sure.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're talking with Jeremy Seifert of Dive the Film, and we'll be doing some more St. Patrick's Day fun when we get back.
Trash! Here's some more rotten stuff. I have here some newspaper 13 months old.
You take the family to the food court. Your wife and Pete head for tacos. You and Danny want Chinese. You look up at the menu. You look down to see what Danny wants. But you don't see Danny.
Danny!
Every parent knows that feeling. Imagine if he were actually abducted. To receive free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
In partnership with WTOP Radio, a Bonneville station, together making a difference in Washington.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me. 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown, the perfect place for your upcoming celebration. Whether it's a luncheon or after-work gathering, cocktail reception, sit-down dinner, or full-scale party, Farmers and Fishers can accommodate you and your guests. Whether your group is 30 or 300, Farmers and Fishers has the right setting for your party. They'll customize a menu and beverage package to suit your taste, plus there are no room rental fees and low package minimums. Contact Lila Dugley for more info or get details at farmersandfishers.com about booking your event.
Oh, I love
not that I know
trash.
Of.
We're on air.
Anything 30.
We're on
all
air.
Right, we're back on the air. We're on the phone with Jeremy Seifert, who is an award-winning documentarian. He did a movie called Dive, which is about dumpster diving, and the whole sort of the underlying concept is that millions and millions and millions of pounds of perfectly good food are thrown away every day by supermarkets, by restaurants that could feed the hungry. Jeremy, here in Washington, we have a buddy named Robert Egger who founded something called DC Central Kitchen. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah. I'm familiar with it.
You know, and they have deals with local restaurants, and they go, actually, it's spread across the country where they collect the food that they're not going to use every night, and then they feed. I think they feed about 4,500 people a day, and they have a culinary training program for the homeless. I mean, why isn't something like that? I mean, you know, why? I mean, I guess my question is, why would these individual managers just say the heck with it and throw away all that food and ignore your pleas and entreaties to feed people that are hungry?
It's
mind-boggling.
It is a great question. And I think to their defense, I would look at my own ignorance on food waste and about the subject before I started dumpster diving. It just isn't something in most of our consciousness because of our excess and our wealth. But I think it's becoming more so, more a part of our thinking. And hopefully, as it does, these managers of stores and these larger corporations will awaken to the fact that we simply cannot be wasting this food. It's just absurd.
Well, tell us about the Eat Trash campaign that you've started. How can people get involved in this, and what are you hoping will come out of it?
Right now, I guess our hope is to change some of these corporations, and you can simply get involved by starting to end food waste in your own home, in your community, school, work. And then a very simple thing you can do is go to the website, which is divethefilm.com. Mm-hmm. And on the Eat Trash page, you can download this simple letter we have to Dan Bain, the CEO of Trader Joe's. And it simply says, hey, we love you guys. You're doing great things. We shop at your store. Please adopt a corporate-wide policy to end food waste in all your stores. And we actually just did a screening at this Polytechnic high school in Pasadena, and they've sent over 140 letters and actually got a letter from Trader Joe's because they were just inundated with so many letters. And I really believe that a physical letter like that coming in by the hundreds or even thousands will change that corporation.
Well, we hope so. I mean, we're behind you. I already hit my Whole Foods up after seeing clips from the movie and said, what do you guys do? And what are you going to do to change it? I mean, every Whole Foods in our area has, trash bins that say compost, recycle, and landfill. And you would think that if they're so in on that they wouldn't be throwing out plastic containers in their own trash bins. It's absolutely fascinating. Jeremy, tell us where we can see the movie for people here in the D.C. metro area.
Oh, let's see. You can check out the screenings page at mm-hmm. Dive the Film. There's quite a few screenings coming up. Unfortunately, they're mostly in Canada. There's one in Ankara, Turkey, and places like that. The good news, there might be something in D.C. That I don't know about, but the good news is we just signed on Friday with First Run Features. This is a distribution company. They have Crude, Kings of Pastry, Most Dangerous Man in America, and we just signed with them. It'll be for DVD and VOD, video on demand.
Fantastic.
So, great. We're just going to ask if we could buy it. So,
yeah, it'll be available. I think the release date is going to be sometime in July. So it'll be widely available then.
Excellent. Well, will you keep us posted, please?
Wait, before we wrap this up, Jeremy, okay. I have to know, what is the best, coolest thing you found in a dumpster, and what is the gnarliest? And did you ever meet any critters in there?
That's my concern.
I met critters, but they were my own friends who have nicknames like the Beast, the Cobra, Snake, these guys. But they're beautiful, cuddly creatures. The best thing I ever found was, I think it's the, I've found, and this is quite a few times, I've found fresh ahi tuna that you just, need to sear, along with some baby broccoli and a big loaf of sourdough, and this was a few months back, but I found a 12-pack of stout beer, and only one of them was broken.
Get out of here.
I got 11 beautiful beers.
Well, if you come, no.
Crazy.
If you come to Washington and we will film it, I swear to you, we will dumpster dive. The only thing I'm afraid of on the face of this earth is sharks, and as long as I'm not diving into any sharks in the dumpsters, and I will, we will do it, and I will wear a Speedo just for everyone's entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy.
Oh, please, please, I'll take you up on that.
Oh, God, please
what
don't.
A thought.
Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate you getting up early and telling us all about your film. And if anybody out there has the opportunity, please go to the website, divethefilm.com, and check it all out. It is absolutely fascinating. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Clinton, we'll be back to you in a second to talk more St. Paddy's Day drinks. But speaking of which, we've got Jason Brumman here. And Jason is the executive chef at P.J. Clark's in D.C. It's the first P.J. Clark's in D.C.
Indeed.
And let's talk with you about celebrating the man, the saint, who rid the old sod of serpents, because I'm sure he did.
Forget that. Let's talk about the food you brought in. What did you bring in today, Jason?
That looks like sushi.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to say, if Jeremy does come into town, we'll throw a couple of Guinnesses in the dumpster. So
just to
entice
him
in. So,
well, wait a minute. I will go down to the dumpster now and wait.
Well, today we brought in a couple little dishes that, you know, instead of the big, heavy Irish stew and corned beef and cabbage, which everybody knows, this is some lighter sort of party fare that I thought might be nice for people that just want to have a little flavor of the big day at the house, could easily handle and manage, and it's not so daunting.
It's very hors d'oeuvre-y. I mean, that's what I love
exactly
about this.
That's exactly what it is.
Now, let me say, you're right. This isn't, you know, your boiled mutton or anything like that.
No.
When we were in Ireland, we had some amazing food. And, of course, Irish food traditionally is not considered to be...
Well, it wasn't,
you know,
but
wasn't,
it is now.
But it is now. Is this typical
of
what
Terry
you...
over there. You could see his face go completely white. He's like, what?
Right. It wasn't considered gourmet for years, and we were there 10 years ago. We had unbelievable food. So is this typical of what P.J. Clark's is going to be serving that day, or is it typical of what you serve?
Well, at PJ's, we have the old favorites, and but on this St. Paddy's Day, we're going to offer a couple of items that, as we're having a big party downstairs in the sidecar room, and
which is such a beautiful little room,
absolutely. And this will be some of the appetizers we'll be serving for that party. And
is it an all day party? When does the party begin?
That party I think starts off in the afternoon, like 2 o'clock or something, and there's we have the Washington Redskins cheerleaders coming in.
I don't know what that has to do.
They're all Irish.
There's a plug. Quick plug.
And aren't you doing a big giveaway too?
Oh yeah, we've got a Ural motorcycle that the CEO of PJ Clark's purchased, and in honor of the restaurant, the other restaurant we have called Sidecar, the Ural motorcycle has a sidecar on it, and I've personally given it a test drive.
Is there any way to rig this?
Well, I've got my shirt.
No,
right
listen,
now.
I just can guarantee you'll be back on the show next week.
David's always looking for an in.
Yeah, well, if you get in the Speedo, I'll take you on the sidecar.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Oh, geez, here we go.
Break the sidecar.
Yeah, but we're selling t-shirts, and there'll be an auction that... they'll correspond with the t-shirt number, and the winner gets the motorcycle.
Oh, so. You're wearing the shirt.
I am.
I'm
protecting this. This is, hopefully we'll, I don't know if employees are eligible or not, but we'll find out, right?
Right. You'll find out soon enough.
All right. Well, let me ask about drinks, because, you know, people always think of the traditional green beer and all that kind of thing. What have you guys got going on there?
Well, we quadrupled up on Guinness, obviously. The only bad thing about green beer is what do you do on Friday? But
throw it in the dumpster and I drink it.
Right.
That's the day to go dumpster diving.
But do people really want green beer? I mean, do you think your patrons are going to be like, "Where's the green beer?"
I don't think so. Well, we're not serving it.
Okay.
It's there's such a rich tradition with PJs and St. Paddy's Day that we're just going to kind of roll with that. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
So how many of the traditions are you taking from the New York property and integrating into the D.C. one? Since you guys, what are you guys now, like 6 months old?
Yeah, 6 months. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, to be honest with you, we really would like to own PJ's and or own St. Patty's Day in D.C.
I think you got some tough competition here.
No, I know.
I see some dukes going up.
Well, that's the goal.
Look at that. Look at that.
Right, he's a fighting Irish over there.
That's my first salvo. But you know, the first time I ever heard about PJs was about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and there's just from 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, you just can't get in. And this was at the 55th. It's just a mob scene there the entire day. And so, but with the motorcycle giveaway, and we're trying to bring some new traditions, and that they're also doing that up at the three restaurants in New York as well. So that's one item that'll be there, and just you know the great old fashioned hospitality PJs is the big tradition we're bringing. So and maybe some new favorites here.
So aside from these two dishes, tell us about some of the other dishes that you'll be featuring.
We'll obviously be doing corned beef and cabbage.
Is that what that is?
That's exactly what that
okay,
is.
Okay, can you pass
please? Go ahead. Help
excuse
yourselves,
me.
Guys.
And will you pass it down to our other guests, please? My goodness.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just made little corned beef and cabbage rolls, actually, stuffed cabbage. But we just took some of our house corned beef and mixed up with some diced potatoes and a little horseradish cream, rolled it up for just a new little take on it. So
it's beautiful,
light, refreshing. And we just did.
I
some
like everybody
potatoes.
In the studio eating. Everybody's eating. Everybody looks happy.
Nibble, nibble, nibble. So
yummy.
It's so much fun.
Yeah,
so,
Andy, you're not allowed to eat.
We'll also be doing our Irish stew, beef Irish stew, with the smashed root vegetables, and we're doing a little Guinness chocolate stout cakes as well.
Oh,
so.
Yum! Now, do you do the desserts there?
I do actually.
So was it fun coming up with something new?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've served. We're going to make a Guinness ice cream as well. And so, it's just fun to keep playing off of that. We have pretty authentic traditional dishes at PJ, so it's nice to, mix it up a little bit. So,
all right, well, we have to take a quick break. Will you tell everybody where the party is and what time it's getting started?
1600 K Street Northwest.
For those of you who don't know where PJ's is.
Try 16th and K.
16th and K Street. Mm-hmm. And we open at 11 a.m. that day. So, and we're going to go all through the evening, and we just had our new patio open up.
Ask a favor.
Oh, good.
That morning, will you just bang on the dumpster and let me know you're
absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. I have food in my mouth. Can you
all right, never mind. This is David and Nikki Nellis on Foodie and the Beast, and we'll be right back after these words.
Thank you.
Rise and shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand squeezed juices, and eye opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
What, Andrew, were you drinking, lad? Because we didn't hear any music. Pretty good, huh? Sound Irish?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh, to Hades with you. All right. So we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back into the show, I just want to quickly thank the sponsors that make the show possible. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in the world, literally.
They are good.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group.
They'll be really good with that rabbit Riette, actually.
She's already thinking ahead.
I'm thinking of how to use it.
That's why I married her. She plans ahead. I'm an anarchist. Rustico Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key. You do that every week.
I cannot.
Founding
it.
Farmers and Fishers down on the Georgetown Harbor. And our new friends from Modus, Notte Bianchi Dish and Circle Bistro. Mm-hmm. Thanks for supporting the show. Clinton, let's go back to you. You got some other stuff over there. What are you going to mix up?
Pretty glasses. So
one
very
last
pretty glasses.
Cocktail.
That's all we need is one last cocktail.
Yes, sir, yes,
I just
sir.
Saw God.
So it's called Alive with Pleasure. I smoke Newports. Chef and Todd don't like that so much.
Okay.
So I made kind of my version of a Newport cocktail. It's a creme de menthe that we make.
Wait, like a Newport cigarette?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
You should quit smoking.
I know. That's what they say as well.
Oh, God. But, you're in trouble now.
So it's a house-made creme de menthe. It's a mint whey where we take milk with mint leaves in it, and we heat it to 185 degrees, add a little bit of acid, so then it separates the curds from the whey.
You mean like LSD?
Yes, sir, whatever you prefer.
Outstanding.
It's just a little citric acid, so it's kind of like making cheese, if you were, like a queso fresco, where you have the curds and then the whey on the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it's very rich, but it's not sweet. It gives it like a richer mouthfeel, a little mint bitters, and a little bit of mint simple, and then it's got a beautiful little fresh grated peppermint root on top. So
that's beautiful.
Super simple again. I'm watching Jordan. Jordan's like, I've never seen anything like this. It's cool, right?
By acknowledging that you smoke, you have now cursed yourself because my wife will be on this like a fly for the rest of your life.
Although if I have a couple more of these drinks, I may be like, can I bum a cigarette?
All right. Well, Jason, let's get back to Jason Brum and talk more about PJ Clark's. I do have to ask this. What do the Redskins cheerleaders have to do with St. Patty's Day?
I mean, seriously.
Or does it really matter?
It's a new tradition.
Really? Or maybe you just have so much St. Patrick's Day fun, you need to see some cheerleaders to keep
it going. Well, we're just keeping the cheer level high. Uh-huh.
Well, they're the only aspect of the team you can cheer for.
Very true.
That's the only reason why he brought them up. He just wanted to slam the team.
Okay.
No. I love my team. I've never been to PJ Clark's in New York. Mm. Tell us about specifically what goes on in there. I mean, is there stuff like this, like the motorcycle? I mean, do they have their own things that they do?
Well, you know, it's a big competition between each of the restaurants, and they're given a little there's three of them in New York and in different areas, and they're all given a little latitude, but there's a big competition between all three restaurants, and they've got there was talk about having some live cams in there to record some of the action, although I don't know if
we'll have a live feed on the video.
So there's that, and again, you know, it's just, you know, New York St. Patty's Day, PJ Clark's, it's just peas and carrots.
So, well, with that kind of heritage, I'm sure DC's going to be nuts.
Yeah, no, we're hoping so, and we're ready for it. We have the patio just opened up, and so actually on Thursday it will be the first day. And
is
so
it supposed to be nice on Thursday?
It is.
I hope so.
It's supposed to be.
Fantastic.
At least. So,
all right, once again, tell everybody where they can find you.
PJ Clark, 16th and K, Northwest.
Excellent. Thank you so much,
Jason,
for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Jason will be the guy holding the green beers. All right.
Clinton.
Let's come back to you.
Before you pass that out. So tell us about all the promotions going on, because there are four restaurants.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? I mean,
yes.
Eve, clearly, fine dining.
Yeah, it's going to be a 7-course Irish feast.
Okay.
So it's just a collection of some of Chef Armstrong's favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So at Amon's, we're going to serve little corned beef sandwiches as well as just our classic fish and chips.
Right.
Lots of fun cocktails.
Frying everything. Deep fried all.
Ma'am.
You're going
to
deep fry the corned beef sandwiches.
We can try it whenever.
I think it's a good idea.
Chips all over, you know, England and Ireland. I don't know what you guys do there, but it's the lightest...
Oh, thank you. A lot of it's the batter. Man. And then it's fried in a soybean oil, so no trans fats, never hydrogenated.
So it's healthy. It's healthy fried food.
It's good for you.
I love that. Love to hear that. And what about at PX? What are you guys doing upstairs?
We have a few of the cocktails that you've seen today, and then it's just the same. The menu changes just about every day, so we always try to add something new.
But is PX still by appointment only?
Reservations are recommended. It's 30 seats altogether. We don't reserve the whole space. So that way it's not just solely
too
reservations,
exclusive.
But it's just open Wednesday through Saturday. It's very small, very intimate.
All right, and the Majestic is not an Irish restaurant per se, so...
Well, it's owned by an Irishman.
I know, it's owned by an Irish. So what do you
It's more
there?
Classic American. Right. I believe Shannon was doing corned beef sandwiches as well, so just very, very traditional.
We had her in a couple of months ago.
She's so
she's
fun.
Very, very fiery.
Yeah. She is great. Fiery, I like
fiery.
That.
Well, they call her Red.
Well, salute, thank you. This drink smells...
Oh my!
Super minty.
Wow. Right? And then the little bit of the peppermint root kind of helps to numb your mouth a little bit and gives it that kind of like menthol flavor.
It does have a menthol flavor.
So you have dedicated this to Newport cigarettes?
Yes, sir.
That is so PC.
It's called Alive with Pleasure, so as long as they don't sue us over the name, we'll be okay.
That is just brilliant. All right, can you please tell everybody where they can find... You
all,
specifically
all
and all your restaurants, please.
Certainly. We're all located in Old Town. We're all within 5 blocks of each other. I am at Amon's pretty much every day, and then the PX Wednesday through Saturday. It's 728 King Street.
Now, if people want to go to the PX and they do want to make reservations, do they call Amon's?
They're all done online via our website. So if you visit, it's just amonsdublinchipper.com.
How momofuku of you.
let's spell Amon's. E-A-M-O-N-N-S, right?
Yes, sir. And then Dublin Chipper. And then you click on the little blue PX, and that takes you into their portion. They're usually for the current week and the next, so definitely try to book early.
So you have to be sober even just to make a reservation. It's too hard otherwise.
Now, can you tell us quickly, because Michelle and Cajal have two new properties opening up,
we do,
hopefully in 2011. Can you just give us a quick 30-second 411?
Certainly. The first one that's going to open should hopefully be in May. It's called Virtue. Mm-hmm. It's going to be down by the water, beautiful open space.
In Alexandria, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a kind of American-style tavern with some of like chef's kind of favorite kind of pub food, and then a Society Fair, which should open in the fall.
Now, where is Society Fair?
It's kind of in between. It's right off of Washington, so it's the same. They're all right in Old Town and, you know, all within Washington.
Soon they're going to call it Cajalville.
No, they're going to have to rename Alexandria Armstrong. Well, listen, Clinton, thanks very much.
We appreciate
These
it. Thank you kindly.
Awesome.
Thank you for bringing your whole...
And
little kitten.
This is where I get to jump in and sort of give you a plug for the listyouonit.com. There's so much. I mean, we cover a lot of ground on this show in less than an hour. But there are hundreds of things going on around the D.C. area. There are great restaurants, restaurant specials, activities, wine seminars, cooking demos, you name it. It's all in the list, areyouonit.com. The beauty of it is it's free to subscribe. There's like a shopping cart for the information so you can collect your own personal list of things to do.
Also true.
And just go there, and it's free, baby. You can also follow Nikki on Twitter. And if you listen to WTOP today, that's 103.5 FM at 10 of 1. She'll be on there talking about, I guess...
I'm talking primarily about St. Patrick's Day. But there's a ton of food and wine events leading up to St. Patrick's Day. It's a busy week. There's a lot of great events going on. So we'll be talking about that then.
Right.
Now, as we do on every show, we like to hit you with a charity, and we think this one is certainly appropriate.
Yeah, it's certainly timely. I mean, the Japanese have been just devastated and decimated by this combination of the earthquake and the tsunami. So we learned last night, if you can send a text to 90999, that's all you have to do, a $10 charge will be added to your mobile bill, and it's a great way to make a...
Well, and it goes to the American Red Cross.
It goes to the American Red Cross.
Doesn't to the Nellis Fund.
It's not just going... No, the Nellis Fund has another nine on it. But no, but I mean, the Red... Or you can go right to american.redcross.org, but they need help. And the whole world should be helping them, and it's an easy way to do it. So
well, and I think during the next week, we're going to just find out how bad the devastation is. So if you can help in any way, this is certainly a good way to do it. And as we also do on every show, we leave you with a little quote.
Well, this is inspired by what we learned from Jeremy Seaford in Dive. Dr. Timothy Jones said, quote, "The kind of society that would waste this much food is one that doesn't value the earth or the products it produces. It's in our own personal detriment.
You want to try saying this again? You want to start over?
Basically, if we keep this up, we keep wasting food, we're going to destroy the planet, and millions of people will go hungry. So I really go to divethemovie.com because it's an eye-opener.
Super enlightening. It certainly is.
I want to thank our guests, Jeremy Seifert, Jason Brum, Clinton Terry, and Jordan Lloyd. Sorry, Alice wasn't here, Jordan, but we'll meet her soon.
And we want to thank them all for coming in today. Next week's show is going to be a hit as well. We have Peru's ambassador to the OAS, along with famed Peruvian chef Marisa Guiofo coming in, and Richard Heltzer, the executive chef at Meatseum. That's at the Native American Museum. It's going to be in as well.
And if you want to see what we do here, go to thefoodieandthebeast.com. We've got our own website, and we're coming back to TV. We'll tell you about it next week.
Have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics.
The following is a special presentation on the Washington Capitals Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bruce Boudreau.
Hi, this is Mike Green.
Hi, this is Mike Knuble.
Hi, this is Brooks Like, and you're listening to the Washington Capitals Radio Network.
Game on from the nation's capital.
The final score 4-1, 11 straight wins for the Capitals, a new franchise record, and for Alex Ovechkin, career point number 500 in the National Hockey League. Nicklas Backstrom in overtime, and the Capitals battle for 3 goals down and win in overtime in Chicago.
This is Washington Capitals Hockey, presented by Capital One Bank, by the Front Page Restaurant in Arlington, by Ticketmaster Ticket Exchange, the official ticket resale partner of the Caps, by Intelligent Decisions, solutions powered by innovation, by Chipotle, by your local Ford dealer, by the Nuclear Energy Institute, nuclear.